Today's sales leaders face a difficult task, selling the right products at the right time through the right channels. A new three-day program from Harvard Business School Executive Education addresses this problem directly. Join us on the Boston campus in August for Managing Sales Teams and Distribution Channels, where you will discover strategies that can lead to the best sales performance. Learn more by clicking the banner or visiting hbs.me/sales. That's hbs.me/sales.
You're now experiencing the AJ Nashville Podcast. Real people, real problems, real success stories.
Hey guys, Alex here, AJNashville.com. Friday's episode. This is actually episode 36, I believe. Getting on down there in the numbers. Pretty soon it'll be at 100. Anyways, this episode I want to talk about something that I talked about in one of my Facebook Live videos, and that's the internal investigation. Obviously, when I talk about something like that, I mean internal as in yourself dealing with issues internally, whether it be personal life, business life, family life, whatever it may be. The main reason why I bring this up is because obviously you see things in this industry where people who are very talented decide to make a decision to switch companies. Maybe they make a decision to move on to a different industry, whatever it may be. And in some cases, those decisions are impacted by surface issues as opposed to the actual fault or the actual thing that needs to be changed, which is an internal issue. So what I mean by internal investigation is obviously taking a moment to say, hey, what's the problem here? Is it me or is it something else? And what I mean by that is as producers, commission-based producers, what we do is we tend to get in a comfort zone. We produce, we know what number we have to hit, we know how many calls we have to make, how many realtors we have to dial, how many things we have to do in order to create the amount of business that we need in order to be successful. This is something that every successful person knows how to do. Sometimes we get complacent, we get comfortable, and we say, okay, this is the dollar I need to hit, and this is what I hit every single month. And sure enough, every single month you hit the same damn thing. Nothing wrong with that as long as you're consistent and as long as you're happy. Obviously, if you have the talent to do better, you should. But I can tell you that employers are just as happy with consistent people as they are with people that outperform everybody else. A consistent person can be a person that's counted on. Now, typically when we see people who are making decisions, let's say to go to other companies, a lot of times we see a blame being pointed. Maybe we blame the rates are too high, the underwriting's too tough, my processor sucks, my loan officer assistant quit, my building isn't located in the right place. Whatever it is, we always take a moment to blame everybody else as opposed to doing the internal investigation. The stopping and saying, hey, you know what? Maybe it's not everything that we just pointed fingers at. Maybe it's me. Maybe the activities that I did 6 months ago created the 10 loans I needed to close per month, whereas the same activities 6 months forward to present date doesn't get me the same results. Maybe it gets me six. And instead of saying, hey, you know what? It's the activities that I'm doing. They need to change because the market's changing. The rates are going up. Less people are buying. The housing prices are going up. I'm doing business with less agents. Maybe we need to stop and say, okay, I need to increase my work now to match the market. Because here's the one thing I can say. If you look around and look at the industry, everybody is making money. Literally, people can sit in the same spot and a deal will fall in their lap if they sit there long enough. I use an analogy, and that's if you go out and sit on the same park bench every single day for the same periods of time, eventually a bird will come by and shit on you. Why? Well, just because it's luck. I don't know that a bird shitting on you would be lucky, but it just happens. And you see that with mortgage people, and you see that with real estate agents alike. People that are just in the industry because it's the going industry. This is the same thing that happened pre-crash. Everybody wanted to be a loan officer. Why? Because refis were hot, purchases were hot, everybody was getting paid, everybody was doing business. The difference is the market slowed down. When the market slowed down, it suffocated a lot of people out of the industry. Case in point, I read a study several years back, and it said that the state of Florida pre-crash had 63,000 licensed loan officers. You could basically build a city of Douchebagville with the amount of loan officers that were licensed in the state of Florida. Present date, when I read that same study, was there was a number of 19,000 registered loan officers. Why? Well, because the market wasn't booming like it was before. See, everybody's after the easy money. Why do you think MLMs exist? Everybody wants to go after the easy money. You see your Black Diamond, he's doing it, he's killing it, he drives a Ferrari, he does this, he does that, she does this, she does that. But not everybody sees all the work and the effort that went into it. It seems like an easy thing. I can't tell you how many people have sat down and said, I want to become a loan officer. And you start explaining to them everything that it takes to be a loan officer. And they look and say, maybe not. Maybe the work's too hard. You know, because I don't just get up and go to my office every day and all of a sudden deals come through and things close and everything else. That has taken years and years and years of building in order to get to that point. I've literally spent years nurturing a database, working with agents. Agents become friends. We do business together. I lose friends. I lose agents. I gain new ones. People get out of the industry. They get in the industry. Whatever the case may be. And in turn, it makes it easier for me to sustain. Not easy, because there's nothing easy about it. Because when you're working that one deal and there's an issue, you have to know how to solve it. Being a loan officer myself, I like working alone. I don't want to work with a team. I have no desire to be like some of these other Titan agencies out there where there's 20, 30 loan officers. Yes, it makes it easier. But as one of my good friends, Johnny Fowler, states, it's nothing more than herding cats. That's because loan officers that are high producers are typically very, very needy. They're typically people that require certain things. We require to be catered, taken care of. I know this because I am this. If I worked for somebody else, I would be a rotten pain in the ass, but I would be consistent and I would close. The big thing is as the market changes, we forget to do that internal investigation and say, hey, you know what? We now have to do more work. There's less qualified people out there, so we have to do more work to get our market share. Keller Mortgage, let's talk about that. The big elephant in the room. A lot of people are bitching and complaining, hey, you guys are doing this, you're doing that, but guess what? They can't take a client that was sent to you that's your client. If you take care of your clients, nobody else is going to take them from you. And if they do, it's okay because that person didn't value you anyways. So what did you really lose? Once again, the internal investigation. You know, that's just like when somebody says something and it irritates you. Why? Why does it irritate you? Is it because it rings true? I think it is. I think it absolutely is. I posted a post a while back and I said, hey, if you're not closing $1 million a month, you're a disgrace to this industry and you should quit your job. And I meant it. And I said it because it was a holiday / not a holiday. You know, one of them holidays like President's Day, which really isn't a big holiday. Like, nobody goes out and celebrates. They're like, thank God for President's Day. Let's have a shot. Nobody actually does that. And if you do, you have fucking problems. But it was one of those holidays, and I said, if you're sitting at home and you're not doing anything right now, and you are not closing $1 million a month, you are a disgrace to this industry. And I had outrage. My inbox blew the fuck up. Several people posted, and they said, you're right. Yes, this is true. But more people sent me inbox messages. This is fucked up. You shouldn't say that. How dare you say this to me? Blah, blah, blah. And the whole time I knew this struck a nerve. Because who complains if they're in that box of people closing $1 million? Not the producers, because they're worried about getting their market share and doing what they have to do. And if that person was closing $1 million consistently, it wouldn't be that big of a deal. And little do we know in our industry, $1 million isn't shit. It's a decent number, but it's not great. Especially in states like California, where every deal is a $500,000 deal. But the fact of the matter is, one person reached out in an outrage. A few days later, that person sent me a message and said, you know what? I apologize. You were right. I got so pissed off at this because you basically called me out. I'd been sitting here feeling sorry for myself day after day, not knowing what to do. And your post struck a nerve with me. But actually what it did do was encourage me to do better. So I wanted to thank you for that. That one post that was so insulting to so many was motivating to one, and that's all it takes. I'm not here to please everybody. I can give a fuck if you like me or not. I'm going to be as real as I can because of the simple fact that I'm here to help in the way I know how to help. This falls back to that internal investigation. See, I used to give a shit what people wanted me to do, who people wanted me to be. I used to be the crowd pleaser. Spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on an outfit just to fit in, drive a certain car, be a certain way, talk a certain way, dress a certain way, do all that other shit a certain way just to fit in. But when I did that internal investigation and decided that, you know what, this isn't who I am, all that changed. It allowed me to focus on what it was I wanted to do, which allowed me to focus on doing what I do best, helping people. See, this is something that comes natural to me. I don't have to fake it. That's why I'm so good at doing mortgages. Not because I'm great at numbers, because I hate numbers. Let me repeat that. I hate numbers. Badly. What subject did I hate most in school? Math. What subject did I hate second most in school? Math. I mean, I absolutely hated it. But what I love doing is helping people. Most people don't see this career as one where you can help save a family, help a family invest in their future, help a family do what's right by them financially. It's a big advantage. The podcasts that I do, I don't get paid for these yet. Just kidding. But I don't get paid for these. I do them simply because my inbox stays full of people that say, thank you, I needed that today. Or, hey, that podcast was awesome. Keep it up. I do it because I know the thoughts that are in my head that cloud my head constantly are thoughts that will eventually help somebody as long as I do this consistently. See, I said at the beginning of this podcast, hey, it's Friday. It's not. It's Thursday. But Friday, I'm going to be on the road all day. So I figured I'd get this content out to you today because I feel like it's something that's needed. See, while most of us are celebrating our Fridays, celebrating whatever it is we've done throughout the week, there's other people out there that aren't celebrating, that are in misery, that are deciding to switch companies, do something different, break up with their spouse, leave their kids, leave their family, whatever it is they may be doing. Because it's always our environment. It's never us. We always point the blame at other people because it's easier to blame other people. Who wants to sit there and say, hey, you know what? You were wrong. I'm right. I said that fucked up and backwards. You were right. I'm wrong. It's nothing that we ever want to admit. It's nothing we ever want to say. But the fact of the matter is sometimes that just happens to be the case. It's doing that internal investigation. That's where we look into our activities on a day-to-day basis and say, is this what's best for me? Is this what's best for my family? When I got up to go to work this morning, did I get up to go to work just to get away, or did I get up to go to work to be successful today? See, the thing is whatever I do today is done. I have to do it again tomorrow, but do it better. Today has to be the best day of my life so tomorrow can be better. I have to work hard today so tomorrow I can work harder. Now, don't take that out of context. I don't mean I have to dig a ditch today so I can build a bridge tomorrow, in a literal sense. What I'm simply saying is the work I do today is going to pave the road for tomorrow, which should be more successful because the activities have already been put in play. We talk about the internal investigation, and it makes me wonder how many people actually take a second to do this. When somebody calls you a name, does it make you feel bad or do you not care? When it's time to make a big decision, are you making one based on emotion or education? That internal investigation will allow us to analyze if we're in a place we want to even be in the first place. What good is it to switch companies, to go from company A to company B, if the activities we're doing never change? I've been in that same exact boat before. But see, the difference is you have to be able to tell when it's you or when it's them. You've heard that old saying, it's not me, it's you. Except you've always heard it as, it's not you, it's me. That's not always the case. See, with the internal investigation, there is a right answer to that. If I say, hey, am I making the phone calls it takes in order to reach the amount of people I need to reach? And the answer to that is yes. Now, am I doing the activities that is necessary to do in order to be successful? And the answer to that is yes. Then I need to start looking at my surroundings and figure out if that is a fit. Because just like your clothing, sometimes you outgrow things. And as hard as it is for us to get rid of that favorite sweater, sometimes it's just a must. It's funny, I use the clothes analogy, because I have a bunch of clothes in my closet that I used to wear back when I was 200, 220 pounds. And I look at those, and I'm like, I should throw those away. And then the other part of me says, I'm not going to throw those away. Those will eventually fit someday. I'm just holding on to them because they make me feel good. Said no one ever. But eventually you do outgrow those clothes. And if that's the situation they're in, then it's okay to pick up and make a move. Because sometimes you're no longer the best fit for what it is you're doing or what it is your company's doing. I see this in waves. Being a loan officer, you typically see people move in waves. They all go the same direction. It's like a school of fish almost. You know, you're watching the deep blue ocean. You see 3,000 fish all headed the same direction, and they shift. And it's almost like you see a flash, like a mirror, because they all decide to go another direction, and all of them follow that same direction. Why is that? Is the grass always greener on the other side? Who knows? In that shift that I'm talking about, last year I saw people go to company A, which obviously I'm not going to name companies. At the end of last year, I saw a lot of people saying, company A sucks. This place is horrible. I can't stand it. Where's everybody going now? Well, now they're going to company B. So everybody's making the shift to company B. It's the best place in the world. Shit, this is better than Disneyland. I can't wait to wake up and go to work. They got free coffee and blowjobs at this place. Where's an application? Anyways, it's always the best place. It's the trend. It's the bell bottoms in the industry. It's the skinny jeans in the industry. But then what do you see is that same shift, same people, same movement. Now, a couple of the people stick because they find what it is they're looking for. So not everybody's making the switch for the wrong reasons. Some people find what it is they're looking for. I can think of one person right now, my buddy Clayton Schmeiser. He made a shift. He almost made a shift to the company that I work with, and then he decided to go a different route. That route fit him better. Clayton is a stone-cold closer, and if you're in the state of Nevada and you need a mortgage, Clayton Schmeiser is the guy you need to talk to. Not only does he have your back and know what he's doing, he's just a machine. I've seen him go leaps and bounds to help clients. But the thing is the shift he made was to benefit himself and his business. He didn't make a shift out of weakness. He just knew he grew outside the walls of the company he was at. He knew the walls of the company I'm with were ones that were going to confine him. Not because it's a bad company, but because his outlook on business is a little bit different, and that's okay. It's not a one-size-fits-all with every company. A Reebok doesn't fit you the same way a Nike fits you, the same way that a Puma fits you, the same way that a Fila or an LA Gear, for those of you that remember those, they all fit differently, and that's okay. See, the fact of the matter is, no matter what shoe you put on, as long as it fits you, your values and everything else, then that's where you need to be. The ones I'm talking about is the ones that put on all the different shoes and none of them fit. This one hurts here. That one hurts there. This one's too tight. That one's too loose. It's always an excuse. What type of value do you bring to your company? What type of value do you bring to yourself? And most of all, what type of value do you bring to your clients and agents? I've literally had people reach out to me and say, hey, I was working with this person, but they switched jobs 3 times in the past year and they're not very stable, so I'm looking for a better loan officer. You literally lost a client because you couldn't make up your fucking mind. It's crazy to me. The internal investigation. You didn't marry the first person you went on a date with. Don't move to the first company that gives you a draw, the first company that offers you some money, a fancy pay plan, any of that. Move to the company that suits you best, that fits you right. The money doesn't make a difference. It really doesn't make a difference. I literally took a pay cut by 25 basis points, a quarter of a percentage pay cut, when I moved to Hancock Mortgage Partners. But my life is easier, less stress. I work with family. I work with people I enjoy. It's a fit for me. And even though I'm not knocking down the walls like Clayton is out in Vegas, I do well for myself. And it fits me, just like the company Clayton's at fits him. So guys, next time you hit a situation and you wonder, is it everything around me or is it me? Stop, take a breath, look, do that internal investigation and decide if you're the right fit or if the problem lies in you. You never know what you'll find. You'll never know how much that will allow you to grow by looking into that internal investigation and making a decision based on that. I want to thank you guys once again for tuning in. If you're listening to this, I'm already halfway or at a truck show having a fucking blast. I deserve it. I work hard. But if you're out there, you're listening to this today, come up. Let me know that you listen to my podcast. I'd love to hear from you. If you're listening to this and you know somebody that the shoe fits, please share it with them. And most of all, do me a favor and subscribe. Thanks again, guys. We'll talk to you later. We'll see you on the podcast on Monday. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for tuning in to the AJ Nashville Podcast. Episodes air Mondays at 6 and Fridays at 5. Thank you for your ongoing support. Please subscribe.
Advancements in technology, shifting markets, and the gig economy are changing the nature of work. With this in mind, Harvard Business School Executive Education is launching a new program on managing the future of work. Based on the latest research into the forces reshaping workforce demographics, this program is designed to help employers remain competitive by thinking strategically about today's evolving business landscape. Learn more by clicking the banner or visiting hbs.me/future. That's hbs.me/future.